Now, we have often heard it be told, or heard the cliche, that there are only two classes of people in the world. That there are only two classes of people in the world. Those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Those who are in Christ and those who are out of Christ. The converted and the unconverted. The forgiven and the unforgiven. The pardoned and the unpardoned. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with such a division, such a statement in regards to people, because the scriptures clearly present this to us and teaches and reveals it over and over again. However, when we come to this unique chapter in Mark's Gospel from which we have taken up our reading today, we can find here in Mark's Gospel that Mark alone records the middle parable of the three that we have read. A careful observation and a thorough study of parable one, the first parable, shows that even in the two classes that I have mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of this earth, sets forth a further division. He sets forth a further division, giving to us four types of people in the parable. He paints the picture and gives the imagery, visually descriptive language of four types of ground or soil in the field. Four different types of ground or soil in a field. And hence I've entitled this message today as Two Types of Sinners and Two Types of Saints. Two types of sinners and two types of saints. You see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who sets forth two types of sinners. The sinner on the wayside and the stony-hearted sinner. He sets forth the sinner on the wayside and the stony-hearted sinner. Then he proceeds in the second part of the parable by teaching and setting before us two types of saints. The backslidden saint and the fruitful saint. The saint who is not bringing forth fruit and the fruit-bearing saint. Now, as we glean a little from this passage, consider two things as we progress along. The first parable, or parable number one, is a parable firmly grounded on earth. The first parable is a parable firmly grounded on the earth. What do I mean by that? Well, unlike parables two, the second parable and the third parable, there's no reference in it. There's no reference in it to the kingdom of God. There's no reference to the kingdom of God. The other thing, there's a natural progression through these three parables. Parable one holds the key that opens the door to the further instruction that parables two and three hold. Something that we will become apparent to us, I trust, as we progress along, even today. And so our first category, or type, if you like, is found in verses 3 and 4. Hearken. Behold, there went a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And hence we are brought to see immediately the sinner on the wayside. The sinner on the wayside, or if you prefer, the wayside sinner, to which we often term it. The wayside sinner. And the first thing we can note about this particular class of people is that they are not agnostics. They're not atheists. They're not idolaters or a heathen people. They're neither members of some sort of cult way out, or a people living in some remote region of the earth cut off from all contact with civilization. No, this class of people before us, the sinner on the wayside, he or she have had the Word of God expounded and preached unto them. Have had the Word of God expounded and preached unto them. Indeed, I dare say that some of them are members of a church body. Members of a church body who have sat in church every Sunday when able to do so, perhaps hold office in a church, and this may surprise you. But this particular class or type of people are described as those that fell by the wayside. These are the people who in some way or at some time have come under the faithful preaching of the Word of God, but they choose to totally ignore the warnings of Holy Scripture and the earnest calls of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider for a moment the man Judas Iscariot. Yes, that man by the name of Judas Iscariot. He was acquainted with the Word of Life. He was acquainted with the Word of Life. He listened to the greatest of preaching from the greatest of preachers that ever lived for some 3.5 years, and yet in the end of life's little journey, he died a thief and a murderer and went to hell forever. And therefore, so far as Judas was concerned, everything that he heard was good seed. Everything that he heard was good seed falling by the wayside. Oh, there was nothing wrong with the seed. But it was seed that fell by the wayside. Then we see also the stony-hearted sinner. The stony-hearted sinner. And this class or type of people are described in verses 5 and 6. Look what it says. And some fell. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. It withered away. And really, verse 17, of which we didn't read for time's sake, of the same chapter, verse 17, sums up this class or type of person, this type of individual. For the Lord Jesus Christ states there, they have and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Immediately they are offended. These people are delighted to hear the gospel. And the gospel makes a real impression upon them. They come under conviction, but sadly, that's as far as it goes. And you must remember, confection is not conversion. Confection is not conversion. And time wouldn't permit us to, but throughout the scriptures you see many who were convicted as the Spirit was striving. But there are no details that they were ever converted. And so conviction was as far as it goes. There's nothing of a true and saving conviction and conversion. And Jesus Christ says, they endure but for a time. They endure but for a time. And we are given a great example of such. In fact, in John's Gospel chapter 6, of which it was quoted, even in our prayer time prior to the service, in that great chapter, there is much instruction in John's Gospel chapter 6 in relation to Jesus Christ having come down from the Father, His being the bread of life, He being the bread of life, the bread that cometh from on high, the bread that came down from heaven. It gives much instruction of the folly of trusting in Moses for salvation, the absolute necessity, being essential of believing in Him, in Christ, and in Him alone for eternal life, and yet His teaching is proving too strong for some. His teaching is proving too strong for some. As we read in that chapter, in verse 60 of John's Gospel chapter 6, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying." This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And in verse 66 of the same chapter we read, "From that time many of his disciples went back." Many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And they're described in verse 60 as disciples. As disciples, but when they were measured against the gospel standard, they were found to have no depth of root in them. Having no root in them, having the root of the matter not being within them. Not being within them. And of course, there were about 5,000 who had departed. And we often lament when we see 2 or 3. 5,000. Went away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And hence He challenges them, the 12 disciples. And what does He say in verse 67? "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" To which Peter replies, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And hence these two classes we've seen are the unsaved in the visible church. The unsaved in the visible church today, because the church is in few in this parable. But what about the two classes of saved people? Because I did say that there are four classes, two types of sinners and two types of saints, as I mentioned earlier. And so the two classes of saved people, well, consider for a moment the thorny-hearted saints. The thorny-hearted saints. So how do we understand this? In other words, the backslidden saints. Yes, the backslidden saint. In verse 7, it describes, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." applying that these people are saved. And when we look at verses 18 and 19, it becomes much more clearer. Look at it. Verses 18 and 19. And these are they. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It says in the latter part there, of which I put emphasis on, in verse 19, becometh unfruitful. Becometh unfruitful. And the Lord Jesus Christ is indicating here, he's telling us here, that when this type of people first heard the word, they heard it with gladness to the saving of their souls. They heard it with gladness, with much rejoicing to the saving of their souls. And for a time, they ran well and brought forth fruit and bore fruit. But as time goes by, they become unfruitful. They becometh unfruitful, directing their energy, directing their time in other directions. Oh, would this be a description of you, sinning saint? For a time you ran well. So eager, endeavouring to see others out of Christ, brought in under the gospel, to hear words whereby they could be saved. But today finds you running after the world. Your time's taking up with the world and the things of the world. Oh, was young Demas not such an example to us? An example of such whom Paul laments over as he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. And we must confess and admit with equal regret and lamentation of heart in this present day that as time goes on, there are more and more of the character of Demas in the church today. More of the character of Demas in the church today. But I want you to consider finally, we're brought to the fourth class of people. The fourth class of people, and that is the fruit-bearing saints. The fruit-bearing saints. Look at verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it. That word receive simply means admit, accept it. And we can read it that way. Accept it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And such is the marvelous work that is done when the gospel seed, when the good seed of the word falls upon what Christ calls good ground. On good ground, verses 3 and 4 indicates, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed. Some fell in four different places. Now the sower is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 14 we read, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. And it would indicate that the sower only stayed around long enough to complete the work he was given to do. He only stayed long enough to complete the work he was given to do. And this is exactly what Christ did in his earthly ministry. And as you recall in John chapter 17, verse 1, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And in verse 4, we read, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And just as the sower came into the field to sow seed and left the area, so Jesus Christ came, sowed the word for some 3.5 years and went back to his Father in glory, where he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And where he is with something that he originally didn't have, and that was a body like ours, yet without sin. Another point to make is, although the parable ends in mature fruitfulness, there's no reference to the sower being present at a harvest. The sower being present at a harvest, the reason is simply that he was a sower. He was a sower, not a reaper. A sower, not a reaper. And his sowing is still bringing forth fruit in the lives of his redeemed people, and the harvest is yet future. The harvest is yet future. Look with me at verses 26 to 27. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should bring and grow up, he knoweth not how. You see, the man displayed passion. The man displayed patience. And what is patience? Well, it's a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And of course you can read of that even in the book of Galatians in Paul's writings. And look at the language in verse 27. The language in verse 27. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Take note of the four words that indicate progression in the production of fruit. First, the blade. Look at it, verse 28. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. First, the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And so he cast seed into the ground, and for a time he went about his normal routine. As any farmer would. He'll go about his normal routine. Cast the seed into the ground. And for a time, go about his normal routine, his daily chores. He slept as usual. Slept as usual. He rose up in the morning, and once sown, he resumed his business. He continued on in his business. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth of herself. For the earth bringeth forth of herself. There was nothing he could do to speed up the process. There was nothing he could do to speed up the process. Nature must take its course. And so it is in the work of the gospel. God's people must send forth the gospel in character and conduct. We're not all called to be preachers of the word. But we're all called as Christians to show forth the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. By our conduct, by our character. And that's what we are saved to do. That's what we are commanded to do. What we must exercise, we must exercise patience. Patience. And wait on God's time. And God's time to give the fruit. To give the fruit. Remember the word that the Lord sent by Habakkuk, the minor prophet to Israel in his day, in chapter 2, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And so not only patience, but there's the fruit of prayer. And let me tell you, young people, the prayer meeting is not just for the older people. Younger folk, you get to the prayer meeting. Because when the older are not here, to whom will they pass on the baton? We need prayer warriors. We need spiritual men, women of prayer. Men who will give themselves to prayer. Prayer in the Spirit, prayer in the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 27 and the indication in the five words of prayer. And rise night and day. Continually given to prayer. This man watches over the seed that he has sown as part of his daily routine. He visits his field to make sure the fowls of the air aren't spoiling the harvest. And so he rises night and day, watching carefully, watching and praying. He watches and does what he can to protect the sown seed and expects good results. He doesn't know how long he will have to wait, but he keeps on watching and waiting. He keeps on watching and waiting. A man given to prayer over his work as it texts and it states night and day. And brethren and sisters in Christ, let me encourage you, because it encourages the preacher to hear the saints praying. To hear those of like precious faith praying. Praying over the work. Praying over the future of the work. Praying over the seed that is being sown and will be sown. And so there are many verses we could turn to that press upon us and urge upon us the need for prayer over the work. The need for prayer over the work. Luke 18, verse 1, men are always to pray. Not men ought sometimes to pray. No, always to pray. Luke 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always. Romans 12, 11 to 12, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. But there are two portions which relate to this subject of prayer night and day. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. And you don't have to turn to it for time's sake. But it says this, and Paul, of course, he's urging care for the widows. And he said unto them, now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers, what? Night and day. The other reference is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about fourscore and 4 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And of course, when you're praying, well, you are fasting, because you're not eating, consuming the good provisions that the Lord has provided when you're praying. No. Fastings and prayers night and day. And the work of God, well, it's an understatement. The work of God needs our prayers. The work of God needs our prayers if we are to prevent the powers of hell, the fowls of the air, as symbolized, the powers of hell snatching away the good seed of the word. And therefore, may we therefore pray. Pray like never before, saint. Pray for those whose duty is to bring the word of God on a daily basis. To bring the word of God in the Lord's day, in the midweek meetings, in Bible studies. Pray for your minister. Pray for the under shepherd. Pray for all those faithful to the blood and to the book. And as a result, in God's good time, because there's nothing wrong with the seed, the good seed, in God's time, the result of modern technology, the result of sermon audio, harvest services, Sunday services, oh may God be pleased to gather in a mighty harvest in answer to the prayers of his dear children as they cry unto him night and day. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself. We'll hand it now over to your minister here.